O Lord, for your love, O Lord, for the privilege of standing and sitting, singing before you today. Thank you. Let your spirit fill each of us. We pray it in your name. Amen. Please be seated. We have two texts to look at this morning. First one, if you look up there, comes out of Philippians chapter 1. And not too unfamiliar, but a good one for us, nevertheless. Philippians is a really celebrative kind of book, but kind of an interesting, challenging section in chapter 1 we're coming to. Just the first few verses there of 27 through 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Our second reading comes out of the Gospel of Luke. It's in chapter 21, Luke 21, and we're going to start there if you look up there at verse 7, and we've got a few verses. We're kind of jumping in the middle. It should be somewhat familiar to you, but it won't be hard for you to pick up, and feel free to read ahead of or be in front of it or behind it as we go through it. The disciples are talking to Jesus and they ask him, "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen and what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs of heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words of wisdom, and none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." Here ends the reading. I'd like to invite kids to come down if you're up for it. Wear a mask if you want. Space out a little if you want. However you want to do this, it's okay. And when you take candy today, only touch one piece or two pieces. Don't touch them all. Just a quick reminder that. Come on down. Grab a seat. Good. Big sisters, brothers, moms, and dads, bring them down if they're a little bit apprehensive. Feel free to come on down with them. Or just let them come bravely. Good morning. Fill up the seats. Good. I have a couple of quick stories, and you're going to have to pretend with me today. Can you do that? Okay, good. I want to know how many of you have ever heard the story of David and Goliath? Good. Now, who won? David. Now, do you think he knew the ending of the story before he started? Not really, but there was a neat prophecy I'll share with the big people. But when David stood up against that giant, if I somehow could snap my finger and you would suddenly be David and you would have to fight the great giant, would you be afraid? Why would you be afraid? Do you know how's the story going to end? Who wins? You win because you said it. God is with him. Good. How about the story of the guy they threw in the lion's den? What was his name?
Daniel.
All right, if for instance I could snap my finger and turn you into Daniel for the moment, and you knew that if you said, I love Jesus, they would take and throw you in the lion's den, would you be afraid? How does the story end? God shut the mouths of the lions, and Daniel isn't hurt at all, is he? Because God is with them, absolutely. And so one of the things I want you to think about, and it's going to be in the sermon today, it's going to try and help the big people to remember, I know how the story is going to end. Therefore, I never have to be afraid. Can you remember that? No matter what happens to you or me, when we know how the story is going to end, because God has told us, whether we're going to have something like David taking on Goliath, or Daniel thrown into a lion's den, or us and whatever happens to us in our lives, we know how the story ends, and your story and my story ends with who, and who wraps his arms around us? Jesus wraps his arms around us, and no matter what happens to us, where does he take us? To heaven with him forever. And so we begin to understand why we're going to talk about in the sermon, do not be afraid. Remember how the story goes and how your story or my story is going to end. So whether I live a long time or a short time, whether I'm healthy or not healthy, whether things are going good and I get lots of candy, or I'm the last one there and all the candy is gone. I hope not. Right? I know how the story ends, and I know who's taking good care of me. And that's what we're going to try and help the big people understand in the sermon today. Can you remember that for me? Good. I've got the treats here for you. And if you stand up over there, I'll spread them out a little bit on the chairs. It's all right. Take your time. Ladies get to go first. Just touch one and take one. Don't touch them all. Take one you touch. Honey, you got to get off the chair. You're on my way there. Here, I'll put some over on this side. Whoop, lost one, lost two. Go ahead. Just take the one, touch the one, take the one you're going to take. There you go. I'll keep putting more out. Five. Yes, you can take that, honey. 5, 4. We're closing up shop here. 3, 2. Go, go, go. Hurry up. There you go. Thank you. That's the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You should have gotten to keep that, you know. You never know if they get the children's sermon. I hope you do a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen, or more importantly, if you've ever had the experience of playing in an athletic event or game of some kind, and it gets down to the wire, and you're either the quarterback or you are the receiver, and they fling that ball out there, and you catch it just as the buzzer goes off, bell rings, whatever happens, and you get a touchdown, you make the last basket, from half court with your eyes shut, backwards, falling over on one leg, and all that other good stuff. That's never happened to me, at least. I've been the guy who missed, but never the guy who made it. But if you've ever seen that kind of point, it's interesting because you come into the locker room or you end up in the game kind of celebrating as though that individual had the single most important thing in the entire game, and it's almost like you forget everything else that people participated in to make the game that close, or all the other times I or somebody else missed and you had to pull it out at the last minute. In the flip side of that, there's also the other side, which then makes you the guy who was 1 foot short, a nice useless rim shot, or it falls 2 inches short of the basket, or everyone just goes, And they all blame you for the loss. And I want you to understand, those are very powerful sets of emotions that people deal with. And so it's very difficult sometimes. We are in a game, a race, a war. I hope you know that. You are soldiers. You are Christians. You are the believers. You are the remnant. You are a lot of different words that Bible and Scripture would use for you. And most of them are appropriate. Most of them are going to challenge you because they help you become aware this is that moment in time. And we've talked about that many times in terms of understanding the significance and the sincerity of that reality. In Philippians, when you start looking at these words, if you start just before Philippians 1:27, you'll hear these words by Paul where he starts speaking about the fact that he has been suffering difficulty and everything else like that. And he begins to talk about this and say, I will continue to rejoice, for I know through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope I will in no way be ashamed. Paul is in a situation where he's not sure about the end of the story, but he's exercising hope. I use the analogy of, if I was Daniel and remembered the story, God is here with me and is going to save me from the lion's mouths. If I'm David and I remember the story, God will give me the victory. For those of you who understand it, David had actually been prophesied by the prophet, and he had been told he is going to be the next king of Israel. And so if he believed and understood the significance of that prophecy, he had not been made king yet. And so it must have been an interesting opportunity for David to go into this battle with Goliath, knowing God's prophecy. He must have said, I know you think you're going to beat me, but I happen to know something you don't know. God prophesied that I will be the next king of Israel, and I'm not the king of Israel yet. And if you kill me, I can't become the king of Israel. So good for me, too bad for you. And so he must have gone into that battle with this degree of understanding and confidence. So I want you to kind of keep those things in mind, that there is a confidence that God is asking us to live by and live with so that we begin to understand the significant times that we're living in. Now that section in Luke, which you read or heard me read again, talks about, you know, what it's going to be like at the end. And we refer to those things because they're things we're supposed to watch for. You know, we have to become extremely alert and be very conscious of the fact of what is happening in those end times. And we pick up the little information of be careful of all the deception. Watch out, there are going to be many coming in my name, claiming the time is near. Do not follow them. Okay? There is an extreme caution to that. I told you, how many times have even good brothers and sisters in the Lord shouted out, the end is near, and it did not end at that point. And so God is very guarded about the actual timing, but he gives us these signs, and we need to continually be alert to them and watch for them. And the key point he brings out in that first part is don't follow them. There'll be wars, revolutions, but don't be frightened. That kind of attitude. And we're in the middle of some more of that. We certainly have a threat. China is rattling its saber, and people are debating whether or not we're going to have economic war or economic collapse. We're talking about all kinds of issues around the world. There are some serious things going on in Iran again. There are other things that we can become very alert to. And we can have a lot of reasons to be concerned or cautious or anything else like that. And when you start to understand that, that's the part that I want us to at least be aware of. But when you look at Philippians and you hear this call of how Paul is asking the Philippians to live, that's the verse I want to focus on today, a little bit shorter, but I want you to focus on it with me. It says this, only as is appropriate for the gospel, conduct yourselves. That's my translation, okay? as only is appropriate for the gospel of Jesus Christ, live out each breath. All right? You have to understand, Paul is telling his people, I'm writing to you Philippians. I know I'm in prison. I know I am suffering with the various things going on. But he said, here's what I'm asking of you and for you, that you become alert to that. And so he challenges and encourages them, conduct yourself in a way that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ loves the world. It loves all men, all women, all children. All right? The gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us that he came to die for all of our sins. The gospel of Jesus Christ asked me to reflect in my attitude, behavior, dress, and everything else, an attitude that communicates that gospel. It's a challenge, but it helps us discern. Please understand also that Satan will be working in all these things in 180 degrees opposite. I do not want you to live like a reflection of the gospel. I want you to look and behave in immoral ways. I want you to use cursing and swearing. I want you to treat your wives or your husbands with disrespect. I want the whole problem of the disease and the thing that we're dealing with in COVID to wear you down and beat you down so low that you can't lift your head up. I want you to do everything opposite of what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. I want you to act wounded. I want you to be defeated. I want you to take it out on each other. I want you to treat each other like trash. So now you hear this word of Paul. You hear the kind of imaginary words I created for you of the enemy, and he shouts out in the opposite direction, screaming and encouraging you to behave oppositely, and you and I are supposed to walk through this text with our eyes and ears open as he goes on from there. Conduct yourselves in a manner that reflects and demonstrates the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on and says, whether I come and see you or whether I'm far away and only hear about this, these are the things I know, that you are stationary, solidly planted. Go ahead and try and move me. That kind of stationary, we would use the word anchored. We would use the word well-founded, bracing ourselves for those things. Then he goes into that, and he says that you can stand firm in this translation then, that you are braced in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Now, it is easier. Have you ever gotten to the blank? Well, if you'd have made that point, we'd have won the game. You're nasty. Why did you take that shot? You were supposed to pass it off. You know you were too far away. We had another 2.5 seconds, and you blew it. Why didn't you get that rebound? Why? Have you ever been in that kind of condition? That sounds a little more familiar in my world. I was either the one or the other, either receiving it or giving it, though. And I go, have you ever understood if I can get the church, whose fault is it? How come you're sick? Who breathed on you? Who was here that shouldn't have been here? How are we going to yell at them? Let's get back at them. Let's start a text. You know what? This did and they did that. And you go, why would Satan want us to do that? Because it's the opposite of the testimony that Christ invites us. It's the opposite of a testimony. It's going to get tough. Paul is writing and he's saying, listen, I'm suffering. I told you I was going to suffer. This is not and should not be surprising for you. You have to recognize the condition and what we're dealing with and the circumstances with which we live. And Paul said, I need to know that you got it. I need to know that you understand and your feet are braced because the wind is going to come against you. The attitude is going to kind of force you, if you want to find somebody to wag your finger at, to shout down and run in fear and backstab. And if you think COVID is bad, wait till you read the stories of people like that have lived through the communist takeover of Russia or Romania or other places like that. And you suddenly are brought into a whole nother level of backstabbing, undermining, betraying, and everything else like that. And I go, if we can't learn it, in the middle of this particular set of circumstances and conditions. We haven't got a prayer when real pressure starts to come. So watch what Paul continues to do with this. All right? I will know you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man, that single person. If I'm anchored in this Holy Spirit, there is a singleness about who we take our orders from. Who do I take my orders from? God himself, the Holy Spirit. Who am I faithful, or what am I faithful to? God's word. We continue on. For the faith of the gospel, the word the faith of the gospel usually refers to the entire message. All right? You can reduce it to John 3:16, but you put it down. You're contending for the faith, but you're contending for the faith in the brother or sister next to you. You're contending for the faith for those who are being wounded or beaten down by life or circumstances or the public media or whatever it is. Are you courageous enough to stand with the brothers and sisters out there who are being beat down by everything from the media to other things, or do you hide your head, put your head in the sand? That's the challenge Paul is challenging him with, and so he goes on from there. The faith of the gospel, key point now, without being frightened in any way. All right? I don't read the end of the story, ever. I'm not that kind of character. I've talked to and know people that cannot read a mystery, get into it a chapter, without going right to the end and reading the last 7 pages. All right? I can't do that. That would spoil it. My brain loves to pretend I'm Sherlock Holmes or something. And I love trying to figure the book out and the author out. And I love being shocked, or I love being surprised by the ending. But the thing that I want you to understand is he's telling us here, without being frightened in any way. And it means scared to death. If we used it in the language, the word frightened, like don't bolt like a horse that sees a snake in its path. Don't take off running, screaming into the woods. That kind of idea. I don't want any kind of fear inside of you in any way by those who oppose you, those who hate your guts, those who hate your family, those who hate your marriages, those who hate Christ. I don't want you ever to be frightened of them. Please understand, Paul, speaking these words, is talking to a church that's going to be persecuted heavily and is already beginning in the middle of it as they watch Paul get arrested, eventually taken to Rome, put on trial, and all the things that are coming down the pike. So he goes on from there. He said this, "This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. The fact you're not afraid," right? You know? "You can do whatever you want to do, but as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord," said Daniel. "Well, you're going into the lion's den then." "Well, you can do whatever you want to us, but as for us, we are not going to serve you in that way." And the three men in the fiery furnace are thrown in. And you begin to understand they were not afraid of those who opposed them. They had and were listening, we might say, to a different drummer. They heard a different voice. They were being spoken to by the heart of God. The Spirit of the Lord was bringing them under a different authority, and they were absolutely without fear. And this is where he's encouraging them, that this is a sign that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. So he goes, when you begin to notice that kind of courage in the face of fear, it's a pretty good indication the Spirit of God's working on you. Are you beginning to notice that you walk and act and behave with a confidence on and in the Lord? Whenever I pray this week, I've been praying for a lot of different things, and they're big things. You know, bring people out of the hospital, bring life and healing to their lungs, and all the different things you pray or I pray that are pretty significant prayers. If I let my prayer list weigh me down, I'm staring at that list. I've told you before, never stare at the prayer request. Always stare at the God you're speaking to. Always be aware of who you're talking to. And so you and I are reminded, I am the creator of the universe. I can make and do all things. And we get to say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so the challenge in front of us is to live with that kind of joy and determination. All right? And he goes on there and it says, you will be saved, and that by God. And then verse 29, for it has been granted to you. The word granted here, I have a gift for you. I'm going to show you grace. It sounds so tender. But here, watch what he does with this. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, salvation, but also to suffer for him. Wait a minute. Can you run that past me again? My graciousness, my gifting to you is to let you suffer for him. Why? Because how you and I live in the middle of COVID becomes a testimony. How you and I live in the middle of our families, sometimes wearing our nerves down, sometimes getting tired and having it up to here with some of the limitations, how we live and take on the challenges, God's going, this is your moment. I am allowing you to suffer in such a way, and people will listen and watch and learn, and your testimony will be evident to them. And so it goes, not only, but also to suffer for him, verse 30 now, since you're going through the same struggle you saw that I had and hear that I still have. And so Paul is going, join me. This is good. Well, Paul, you're in prison. You're going to be taken to Rome. They're going to maybe kill you. They're going to punish you. They're going to beat you. Paul goes, I know, but all of these things work for the together for God. And you're getting to learn it. You're getting to understand it. Why? So you can walk down the dark place without fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Well, it's a really cute psalm, and we've probably seen it or memorized it or learned it. Until you walk through that valley, you have to understand you're going to walk it alone. You understand? We kind of get that flavor in the middle of COVID. Someone goes into the hospital, I'm not sure you ever get to see them again. You're going to walk through that valley alone. And then you begin to understand, hear what God is preparing me for. So that whether I walk it with family, whether I walk it and God flips the light back on, whatever happens in the middle of that valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And you see, the message doesn't change. I have to change in order to absorb the message of what God is trying to help me understand and hear. How do I get the strength to rest on the confidence that God is going to teach me new things about my marriage relationship, new things about how to live and interact with my children, my teenagers, or my teenagers with their parents, or all the other things that we have to learn? What am I getting to discover about life and circumstances that in some cases I may never have been able to discover till I got older or possibly made my 14th mistake on dating the wrong person or seeing the wrong individual or all the things that we deal with? And here God comes in the middle of this through Paul and he says, you've been granted the privilege of dealing with the circumstances you're suffering with right now. And the challenge and the invitation is Paul is going, when you suffer, when you go through this, please understand, the world is going to go, what's wrong with those Christians? I can't believe how they love even after the way we talk to them and we treat them. I can't believe they act that way and they support people and they care about people and they involve themselves. It becomes that ever consistent testimony against the life and behaviors of what they're living. And so our challenge is the very thought that we pick up in not only here, but near the end of Luke 21, at the very end, it says, for I will give you the words of wisdom. None of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. But all men will hate you because of me. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you gain life. And you go, Same message. Where do I stand? I brace myself in the arms of Jesus Christ, listening to my prayer request, but remembering who I'm speaking to, keeping my eyes on God, praying my way through each situation, asking God for the strength so that whatever comes next, whichever direction it comes from, I've been prepared, God has got me ready, and I recognize that the privilege is to be God's servant whether I live or die. Go figure, that's what Paul said too. Whether I live or die, that kind of attitude, I will accomplish the purposes of God in my life. And so we are invited, challenged, encouraged by these words that Paul writes for us in Philippians. So I want you to pray with me if you would. Lord, you challenge us, encourage us. You set us free and you teach us things beyond our comprehension. In the middle of this, Lord, we are each learning how to be more consistent in prayer, I hope. We're each learning, Lord, how to take our eyes off the request and set them back on you, the healer. Help us to understand that if we do that by making the mistake of staring at the problem, we miss, Lord, the power that you're going to offer us or the solution that might be right at the end of our fingertips or available in a friend, acquaintance, or person nearby. So, Lord, we ask that you would bring us to come before your throne, that you would help us to stand and accomplish your purposes. We ask that you'd help us to recognize your hand of mercy and grace upon each of us. Lord, we have a long way to go, but you have, by your mercy and your grace, loved us to this point, and we're trusting that you will continue to love us through these times. Teach us how to praise you in every situation. Teach us how to learn to see with new eyes our own wives, families, husbands, children, whoever they may be. Teach us, Lord, what it really means to be able to lift up our heads and praise you in whatever circumstance we're in, so that whether we walk through the shadow of death or not, we know you are with us and we are comforted by your presence. So come and bless us to that end. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.